This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're on the frequency on Joy 94.9. I'm Paul Williamson, and I have on the phone my very special guest, John O'May, who has played in more Sondheim shows than any other performer based in Australia. John, welcome to Joy 94.9.
Thank you, Paul. It's lovely to be here.
Now, John, you've been a Sondheim devotee since seeing the Broadway production of Company way back in the early 1970s.
Yes, I think it was 1970, wasn't it?
That was the original production.
Of Company, yes. Yeah. I can remember sitting in the audience. I was taken by a friend. I was working in as a technical person in music theater in Baltimore at the time, and I just started going to see Broadway shows, actually, and Company was one of them. And when Elaine Stritch said, "Everybody rise," I thought it was a command, and I almost got up. It was so, she was so commanding that it was, I was surprised that everybody didn't stand up. Although at the end of the show, they did stand up. So I think I saw that four times.
Wow. Stritch is quite a strident performer, isn't she?
Well, strident usually means unpleasant, and I understand if that's what you do mean, because she certainly can be. She can certainly rub people the wrong way, but it was a wonderful experience to meet her and to see her perform the way she did. You know? Yeah.
So why do you think, in your view, is Sondheim such a great composer?
I don't think he is just a great composer. I think he is a great human being. He's a man of our times, and not just a composer, of course, but he's a lyricist, and it's the combination of the two things that have always made me more involved in his life and work, I mean, not life so much, but his work, than any other composer, because he does do both so extremely well. And constantly, over the decades, you know, people have been criticizing him for, he writes the most awful lyrics, you know, incomprehensible or something. Or, yes, he's a wonderful lyricist, but, you know, you can't walk out of the theater whistling any tunes, you know, because that was once the prerequisite for writing good music, for music theater anyway. And I just think the combination of the two things is that he makes you think. His music fits the words so perfectly, and vice versa, and the words fit the music. And, you know, I don't think anybody dare ask the question, what comes first, you know?
No, he's a very intelligent lyricist and composer, isn't he?
Yeah, well, that's what comes across.
Yeah. Now, you have performed a number of Sondheim roles.
I have indeed.
Yeah. Let's start with John Wilkes Booth in Assassins. How did you go about approaching that role?
Well, it was quite difficult, actually. I mean, Assassins is a really strange piece of work, you know. I mean, I was going to say a piece of music, but it's not a piece of music. It's the whole structure of it is alienating, in the sense that who wants to see a musical about, you know, attempted and succeeding assassinations on U.S. presidents? You know, I mean, what a strange thing to write a musical about. But as Sondheim once said when he came to Australia, I think it was in the 80s, when he said, "It doesn't matter what you write a musical about, as long as you do it with conviction and well." And
it certainly made for compelling theatre, didn't it?
Oh, I can remember, especially because Roger Hodgman directed it so beautifully, and the cast was extraordinary.
This was the Melbourne Theatre Company production.
It was the Melbourne Theatre Company production. Yeah, I think, I don't know if anyone else has ever done a professional production of it. Mm. Maybe they have, I don't know, but I'm not aware of it.
No, I'm not either.
I know there certainly was an amateur production in Sydney at the Seymour Centre before we did our production. I didn't see it, but there was one.
There was recently an amateur production here in Melbourne too, at Williamstown. Yeah.
And I would have loved to have seen it.
It was a great show, actually.
Yeah. Oh, good. Well, it is. It's an extremely powerful show with the most incredible music. And the way I approached it, of course, was I had back, before I moved to Australia, I went to Ford's Theatre in Washington, D.C. to see a play once. And you can't sit in that theatre and not look up at the box and where Lincoln sat and where John Wilkes Booth jumped from and hobbled away on his broken foot, you know, his broken leg. You don't. It probably is not a good place to see things because the audience can't separate that thought from the fact of what happened there. It's just history, which I love. I love history, and I love the way the writers attacked the story and the music that he wrote and the speeches that they gave Booth to say, surrounded by those two songs, are just extraordinary and wonderful.
Mm. Now, you've also played the central role of Robert, or Bobby, in a Sydney Theatre Company production of Company.
Yes.
Now, that's a big role because you're virtually on stage for the whole night, aren't you?
Yes. I shared a dressing room with Tony Sheldon, and who played Paul in it, and of course, I hardly was ever there because, as you just said, I was always on stage. It was a magnificent company in a very, very strange production of a Brian Thompson set that was.
Who directed that production, John? Who was
Richard
the director?
Ah,
Richard Werrett. Wow. Can you tell us a little bit about that production?
Well, for those people who don't know Company, it's about a man whose birthday is approaching, and his friends decide to throw him a party, but don't tell him. And he finds out about it in some strange way and doesn't show up. But you never really know whether it's in his head or whether it's for real or whether they really know him or whether they don't know him. And it's been rewritten a couple of a bit, you know, some characters they've put in an element of homosexuality because, of course, you know, when a man reaches a certain age, people do ask that question all the time, you know, why hasn't this man ever married, you know, and that has to become one of the suspicions anyway, and so that subject was broached in a London production.
Yes, but Sondheim has gone on record as saying that if they'd wanted to write Bobby as a gay character, they would have done that. He was always supposed to be a straight character.
Oh, yes, which of course makes the dilemma even greater. I mean, it's... It would be easy to, to play him as somebody who was in the closet and didn't want to come out and didn't want to admit his homosexuality, but that's not, I don't think that's what it is. He just doesn't want to commit to anybody. And it's really difficult. He was a very difficult character to play because he's not extremely likable, even though the whole play is about his five couples of friends telling him how wonderful and likable he is, and they have all these wonderful antics and songs and dances to do around him, and he's just standing in the middle watching it all, and so that became difficult. I mean, it was the only show I've ever done where I played the lead, where in the review by David Maloof in The Australian, the character wasn't even mentioned. Which I found, you know, the biggest insult of all, you know, not to be mentioned in a review, and you're playing the lead is...
That's a bit disappointing, disappointing.
Yeah, it was very disappointing, but the rest of the cast were fantastic, you know.
Who was the Joanne in that production, John?
Geraldine Turner.
Oh, of course, of course.
She was indeed, and as I said, you know, Tony Sheldon was in it, and wonderful Sue Walker, and Karen Johnson, and Robin Arthur, and Jody Gillies, Natalie Moscow, it just went on. Simon Burke was in it, and Barry Quinn, Terry Donovan.
Cast.
It just went on and on.
Fabulous.
It was one of those fantastic productions that when it ended, you couldn't believe that it was ending. I mean, we couldn't believe that every theatrical producer in the country didn't want to pick this production up and take us everywhere.
Well, that's the
but
other.
They didn't.
That's the other thing about Sondheim. He's often criticised for being non-commercial.
Yes.
Now, speaking of wonderful productions, I was lucky enough many years ago. It was 1992 to see a a benefit concert for the AIDS Trust of Australia, which was Into the Woods, and you were the baker. Tell us about that production.
Probably ranked right up there with one of the most exciting nights in the theatre that I've ever experienced. It was truly unbelievable. It was the brainstorm of Brian Stacey, I think, and he was the wonderful musical director, and decided we were doing Phantom of the Opera at the time, and he wanted the company of Phantom of the Opera and the Australian, the Victoria State Opera, to come together and do a production, concert production at the concert hall in Melbourne, and full orchestra. Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Sharon Millichip and Robin Arthur again played the baker's wife. And
I think Judy Connelly was the witch.
Judy Connelly was the witch, and Marina Pryor was Cinderella. Donald Kant and Michael Cormack were the princes, and it just, you know, was fantastic.
It was fantastic. It was one of those nights, as you say, when there was just such anticipation in the air when people came into the theatre, and
that's right,
no one left disappointed.
And it never abated for the entire evening. They were silent while we were doing what we were doing, and then erupted into the biggest ovations at the end of everything we did. It was breathtaking theatre. I hope the Alzheimer's that will eventually come does not diminish that moment.
Yes. Now, probably your best-known Sondheim role was as Frederick Egerman in Melbourne Theatre Company's A Little Night Music in the late 90s, again directed by Roger Hodgman. Can you tell us about that one?
What can I say about a show that is literally perfect? I mean, it is such a wonderful story based on the Ingmar Bergman film Smiles of a Summer Night. It just, with the most brilliant cast, truly. Helen Morse playing Desiree Armfeld. Madame Armfeld was Ruth Cracknell.
The late Ruth Cracknell.
Greg Stone. The most wonderful cast of people to work with, mm-hmm. to perform on a stage with, and it was such a learning experience for me. I just watched these genius performers and learned so much, and worked with some wonderful young people too, which were fantastic. That was so successful; it sold out at the MTC season at the Playhouse, and of course we were transferred to the Princess Theatre again, a sellout season, and then we went to Sydney and performed at the Theatre Royal.
And how long did you perform in Sydney for?
I don't remember. I really don't remember. If I said 6 weeks, which sounds like a reasonable kind of season, I might be lying. So other people would have to answer that question. I just do it. I never pay attention to how long I do it. I just, do it. And that one I loved.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I actually saw it at the Playhouse, and then when it transferred to the Princess, and it worked equally well in both venues. And
well, of course, the Princess being the magnificent theatre that it is, it looked as if it was made for that theatre, the magnificent Tony Tripp set and designs of the costumes, and on my walls I have his costume drawings of that, which are beautiful, beautiful. I miss him.
Yes,
Melbourne Theatre misses Tony Tripp.
I think so too, I do. Mm. You also had a role in a rather ill-fated production of Follies. Now, what was the story with that one?
Well, it is a kind of Benjamin Stone is the kind of role that you hang around. Well, first of all, you wait to get old enough to play it, I think Tony Sheldon directed a production of it for the Melbourne Festival one year, and then I said, I want to play it. He said, no, you're too young, which was very flattering. I wasn't too young, but I probably looked too young. And other people played it, but I did want to be part of it. It was a pro-am production, I suppose, is how it was sold to us. Now, the pro part of it, of course, was Nancy Hayes and Rowena Wallace and David Roger Smith and Peter Tapano and Val Gillet. So I'm not talking about just people hanging out for a job. I thought we were people who... The idea was to take amateurs, and the purpose of this company, whose name I totally forget.
Maybe a good thing.
You'll understand Hawaii when they kind of walked out after opening night. We did opening night, and that was it. They, whoever had the money, just walked away, and I never heard of him since. You know.
Never heard
from him or the money that was owed to us. Or,
yeah. Very disappointing.
But it was a wonderful. It was a semi-staged concert performance. But wonderful to play.
And
opposite.
What was the venue for that one, John?
The Crown Casino.
Yeah.
You know, the theater in Crown Casino, which is a very difficult stage to play. But once again, fantastic to just be part of it, and you get blinded, and it is the kind of thing that you tell yourself, once you turn professional in this business, you tell yourself that you mustn't ever, you know, accept jobs because you want to play the role, and even if an amateur production offers it to you, but it is the kind of role that I always wanted to play. But yeah. I saw that on Broadway, too.
Oh, did you? The original production?
Yeah, the original production. I guess that was about 1971.
Yes, yes. And that was a huge, they had a huge cast. And
oh, yes, yeah. Yes, indeed.
And they lost
money. Ron DeCarlo and Alexis Smith and Dorothy Collins and John McMartin was the role that I, you know, I took that role. So it was a very beautiful piece of theater and very difficult, and not many people do it anymore because it's just too big and too expensive.
Yes. Now, is there a Sondheim role, John, that you haven't played that you would love to do?
Well, yes, that I probably never will do, but I wanted always to play Sweeney Todd.
Of course.
Know that I'm a pretty, what's called in in some circles, a light performer. I don't have the gravitas that a lot of other, especially singers, baritones. I'm a baritone. I don't have a high tenor voice, but I'm not in the Richard Rodgers kind of music, the heroic, you know, Gordon McRae kind of baritone voice, you know, the Anthony Warlow kind of big sound. I just am a lighter singer than that, and I think a lot of, now that opera companies have taken the reins over for Sweeney Todd, the likelihood of a theater company doing it again is really rather slim. You know, I think it has moved quite appropriately into the realm of the opera company, and I'm glad that so many opera companies around the world do it. You know, that it is done so much, and the wonderful film. But that's probably the role that I got close when the Melbourne Theatre Company did it. They gave me a handsome audition. They gave me, and I think I rewarded them a bit. But it was probably the first big heartache of my life. You know, to not to get a role.
Never mind.
Not much I can do about it.
No.
As you can tell, it's a memory now. You know, it's a memory of not getting it. But it was very hurtful at the time.
Okay, John, do you have a final comment about Sondheim and his influence on musical theatre?
Final comment. I mean,
Just sum it all up for me.
No, I have none. But all I can wish for is that he just keeps writing, which of course isn't going to happen. What are we celebrating? His 81st?
His 80th birthday.
His 80th birthday.
Yes, it's remarkable.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
Yeah.
I told you once that I met him.
Yes, that's right.
I went to opening night of Merrily We Roll Along on Broadway and went backstage. I was a guest of Hal Prince's and went backstage, and he introduced us. And stupidly, I literally couldn't talk. I thank you. That's all I said. Thank you. I mean, how dumb is that? You know. So.
Oh, you were a bit starstruck, were you, John?
I was. Oh boy. And when I get starstruck, I really get starstruck, struck for words.
Yeah.
So my final words on Sondheim is, I thank whatever being put him on this earth, you know, for, and, you know, the life that he led and the things that he gave us, and may it continue forever. And I think it kind of will. I think he'll stick around, even after he's gone and has stopped working.
Yeah, I know that young performers in particular just love his work because it gives them so many opportunities for to express themselves and to shade characters, create characters, his music will live on forever.
Yes. I do believe that they will, and I look forward to seeing them whenever they happen. So if anybody else does a production of Assassins, please get in touch.
Definitely will.
Let me know.
I will.
Or any of the shows. You know?
Yes. Look, John Omey, thank you very much for joining me on the phone today.
Thank you very much.
Okay, I hope we can talk again another time.
Happy birthday to Steve.
Thanks very much, John. See you later.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.